This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I feel like my leadership style is kind of different. I'm more of a get to know the person, not the player. Just get good relationships with most of the guys on the team, hopefully all of them. And if they do end up having a bad day, they have been slacking, some has been happening. Be able to have that relationship to be able to come and talk to them and they not take it as disrespect. That's the biggest thing for me.
That's Deion Walker, Bills' fourth round pick out of Kentucky, defensive lineman. It's funny how life works, right? We had Aaron Gershon on Friday. I said, hey, reached out to him, said, hey, you cover Kentucky football. Bills just drafted Max Harrison. Let's talk a little bit about him. So we did. And during that conversation, I said, who knows? Maybe they'll take Deion Walker, a defensive lineman. They need one. He said, I'm here for you if you do. So here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Aaron Gershon joining me once again on the Wester Hotline from the Cat's Paws 24/7. What's going on, man? Thanks a lot for doing this again.
Thanks for having me back. Yeah, those top 30 visits definitely tell clues. Joe Shane, obviously, had said on the show on Friday, I've been a Giants fan my whole life.
Yeah.
The Giants love taking those guys on top 30 visits. And who did Joe Shane work for and learn from? It's Brandon Bean. So good indicator there, and good job by you calling that one.
Do you think it's weird that the Rams and Jags do not do any top 30 visits?
Bizarre. I don't know why you wouldn't want to get a guy in your building and get a real feel for them and get them out of their element a little bit, see how they treat people in the building. I don't understand that at all. Jacksonville may want to rethink that process. Well, I guess the guy's coming from the Rams, but
yeah.
The Rams, for whatever reason, man, they just are one of the best teams at drafting. They're almost as good as Baltimore the last couple of years.
Well, if it works for them, I guess. But the Bills, they did have a lot of these guys in on top 30, including Deion Walker, that they do take in the fourth round. So Brandon Bean comes out, and he was really honest, I thought, the Bills general manager here, Aaron. What he said was his 2023 tape was way better than 2024. Then you learn he has back injury, and that's probably a big reason. Is that what you saw from him on the field as well?
Oh, 100%. And we knew he was banged up last year. We didn't know it was a back injury until his pro day here at Kentucky is when he finally shared exactly what was going on with him. But 2023, I mean, this is a guy as a true sophomore with 7.5 sacks from his interior defensive tackle position. I believe it was close to 20, if not more, tackles for a loss. Felt like he was in the backfield every play. Offensive lines are double and triple teaming him, and they still can't stop him. And he just has such quick feet, and he's so fast, for lack of better terms, for a guy who's 6'7", 340 in every bit of it. So he was outstanding in 2023, first team All-SEC, again, as a true sophomore. And he was projected. If you go look at the way too early mocks for 2025, or even go look at the mocks, you know, heading into the college football season, I couldn't find one that he wasn't at least in the first round, if not top 15, top 10. So that's what that's kind of what the thought was on him going into his junior year. And then the back injury, he just clearly wasn't himself, wasn't the same player, looked a tad slower, couldn't get through the double teams like he did in 2023, didn't have that sack production. I think he only had half a sack on the year, and it was against Ole Miss and Jackson Dart there. So definitely not the same tape, and Brandon Bean's definitely not lying there, but man, if they get anything close to the guy they got in 2023, this is outstanding value at 109 or 110, wherever he was taken there.
What made him so dominant in 2023?
Again, I think it's the combination of size and speed. I mean, he's a guy that's every bit of 6'7", 340, and he's super strong. So that already makes him a matchup problem. But he's a guy who's really quick on his feet for that size. And I think just playing these offensive linemen, maybe they could handle the strength for a minute. But when that strength is also coming at you way quicker than you expect for that size, he's just a hard guy to block. And Kentucky, again, I think I mentioned this play to you on that on Friday. He had a play, I hope that it's made the rounds, in 2023 against Florida, where they dropped him back in coverage, and he was quick enough to drop 5-10 yards back, knock down the tight end, and it led to a jump ball in the air that can, or a loose ball in the air that Kentucky grabbed for an interception. So just a guy that can really, really move at great, great size. And, you know, it's a great combination if he's healthy.
So Bean has asked if he could play the one technique, because really that's where the Bills kind of need somebody, and his size suggests that, but that's not really his game, and he's going to have to play lower, and I think that's probably because of the back injury as well. What about his projection for you to the NFL and being able to handle the one technique if they put him there?
I think he'd be able to handle it if he needs to be there. I think he's a guy, again, I just think last year you have to throw out a lot of what we saw. Mm-hmm. I think Kentucky did try to get him into the three tech and the one tech. They wanted to get him to show off. Not, you know, first business is winning games, but they also wanted him to showcase his skills. But really, you go look at what he did in 2023. He did it all, and did it all at a high level. So I think he's a guy that's very capable of doing a little bit of everything, and I think he's in a really good situation in Buffalo there, where they drafted T.J. Sanders, who's a really nice player as well from South Carolina, a guy I've seen a bunch in person, and they have obviously Ed Oliver, one of the best in the game, coming back. So I think they'll have the ability to explore kind of his strengths, and if he's the 2023, even the 2022 Deion Walker, he had a really, really good freshman year here too. I think he could do either one.
So we talked a lot about Maxwell Hairston fitting in Buffalo, his personality and what he'll be like in the locker room. Seems a bit of the opposite from Deion Walker, a little quieter. In fact, I'm reading his bio from the Kentucky website. It says three words to describe himself: quiet, funny, and athletic. What would you say?
Those are pretty good, yeah. I did a feature story on him before the season last year, so I spent a good 30 minutes with him just in a conference room, the two of us. And, you know, he'll definitely open up a little bit to you as he, you know, gets comfortable there. But I agree with that. He's a pretty calm guy. He's very quiet. He's not from the open practices I saw. He was a team captain the last 2 years, but he's not a rah-rah team captain. He's not a screamer. He's lead by example. And I was listening to that clip you played there, and it sounds about right. He really is a guy that genuinely cares about his teammates. He was a guy that anytime we asked him about a teammate, he had a really good answer and knew their stories. And he's a guy that just really, really cares. He's got a big heart. And definitely not the same personality as Max Harrison, though, you know, both those guys are from Detroit and they're really close, and they have been really since they both got on campus. So it's really cool to see them land together. But definitely much quieter in personality, but also just a gentle giant when you get to know him, and he can be nasty on the football field when he's healthy. So I think he's going to fit in well up there.
Last thing for you before I let you go, Aaron, I really appreciate you joining us here again on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. So we asked you, and I asked you on Friday about Jackson Dart. You didn't love the pick, but then the Giants, you're a Giants fan, they go into the weekend, and Darius Alexander, a guy I liked coming out, you know, from Toledo, a little older, and Cam Scatabo from Arizona State, the running back. What'd you think about the rest of their draft?
Loved it. And, you know, I have to say, maybe it was an emotional fan reaction of it. I'll give Dart. We'll see what happens. I watched the full 1 hour with John Gruden, and that made me feel a little better. That was good. But no, Cam Scatabu's a guy I think is a fan favorite for just about everyone going this draft. But the Giants, I think they need, that's a perfect compliment to what they had in Tyrone Tracy last year. So was fired up with that one. And yeah, Darius Alexander, I like that the Giants are kind of building an identity here of really nasty trench play. I mean, you go look at all the depth they have on the interior now with Dexter Lawrence, of course, now Darius Alexander, some of the guys they signed this offseason. Obviously, you bring in Abdul Carter to rush the passer with the likes of Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau kind of as that third option. I like that they're finally building an identity, and Scatabu kind of fits that too, because he's the guy who's going to win in the trenches on the offensive side of the ball.
Well, you got a lot of people here in Buffalo, of course, that watch and root for the Giants from afar because of Brian Daboll, not only being a former Bills coach, but from Buffalo. He's from West Seneca here, and then, of course, Joe Shane spending so much time here. Hey, thank you so much again. I really appreciate that. And if anybody wants to learn more about these two new Bills draft picks, tell everybody where they can find your work. And that you've written about them, so tell everybody where they can find your work.
Yes, catsballs.com, the 247 Sports affiliate. That you can just go to our website, and you could go with all the 247 tags. You could find the players tag and go find all the stories on the network that's been written about them or has them mentioned, and you can find a bunch of my old stuff with Dion and Max, two guys that were a pleasure to cover, and I'm looking forward to you guys getting to know them up in Buffalo.
Well, listen, anything else happens, we'll reach out, and feel free to do the same on this end. Thanks a lot, Aaron.
You got it. Take care.
All right, that is Aaron Gershon, a writer for the Cat's Paws, 247. And by the way, the Paws, P-A-U-S-E. Kind of cool, right? I like that. A little play on words. We're going to have Alan Cole coming up in a minute. Alan covered T.J. Sanders at South Carolina. And obviously the Bills drafted two defensive tackles in the first four rounds. They drafted six defensive players in their first seven picks. It's a clear theme to Brandon Bean. They wanted to concentrate on defense. They did. They took a corner with their first pick. And then they go trenches after that. They don't go offense until day number three. That's a blocking tight end in Jackson Hawes. That's a wide receiver in Prather, the kid they got from Maryland, Caden Prather. So we'll talk all about that here today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll go right back out to the West Her Hotline. Joining me right now is Alan Cole. He's a South Carolina beat writer for Rivals Gamecock. Sorry about that. Alan joins me to talk a little bit about T.J. Sanders. Alan, it's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Thanks a lot for doing this today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hope you're doing well up there.
Yeah, we are. We are. Obviously wrapping up another draft. The Bills, they dip into the defensive tackle pool. They get T.J. Sanders from South Carolina. You've covered T.J. You've watched his game. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, I think the first thing about T.J. people say is the versatility. You know, South Carolina would line him up, you know, over the A gap sometimes, over the B gap, a little bit even over tackle sometimes in obvious pass rush situations. So I think that's kind of the first thing that jumps out is I think the reason so many teams liked him and had him, you know, top 40, top 50 on their boards is you can kind of play him anywhere in any situation and he's going to be able to, you know, take the snap.
And the Bills, as you say that, the Bills really kind of need a little bit more at their one technique. A guy can hold up against the run. When you look at TJ's size, 300, he's not your typical 330-pound nose tackle, one technique, but how can he fit in if they have to put him a little bit more over the center?
Yeah, that is going to be the one thing with him. I think he was like 25th or 30th percentile in weight for his position at the draft. He's going to have to put some weight on for sure. But he held his own against the run pretty well. It's not as good against double teams, obviously. He saw some of those just because of his ability, but you wouldn't think he'll see many of those. It's definitely not as a rookie in the NFL. So he's got a pretty good first step, pretty good at the point of attack. It's kind of when he's getting run right at his size, that's a problem. But you'd hope he put a little bit of weight on, and that kind of develops with his time in the league.
All right, so he's had 8.5 sacks, though. He's an athletic guy. He's a penetrator. The Bills like that out of their defensive tackles. Played tight end at Marion High School in South Carolina. Obviously a good athlete. What did you see from him from a penetrating standpoint?
Yeah, like I said, quick first step, good at hitting the hole. Pretty good in space, too, honestly. I wouldn't necessarily call him a speed demon, but he moves pretty well for his size. And then obviously, like you said, the 8.5 sacks. When he gets to the quarterback, he's pretty good at finishing the plays. You saw that with the tackle for loss numbers as well. I don't know if you'd call him like a traditional pass rusher up the middle, but he's good at getting to the quarterback, and he finishes plays when he gets the chance.
What can you tell us about TJ off the field? The Bills obviously big on the whole person. They always say, come to Buffalo, we'll make you the best version of yourself. They're big on culture, what they've built here in the room. How will TJ fit in?
Yeah, he was very well liked by his teammates here. He was kind of one of those cornerstone guys for, you know, the head coach here, Shane Beamer. Mm-hmm. He was with Shane in all four of his years here at South Carolina. He wanted to be part of this. He came back after a 5-7 season in, you know, the transfer portal age. And I think I saw him say it in an interview. He was very well liked by Pete Lembo, the head coach at the University of Buffalo. Played on special teams the first couple of years here. Had a good relationship there. So, well-liked guy, kind of, you know, earlier in his career, willing to do some of those things on special teams. I think he was in their punt shield, if I'm not mistaken. early. So, well-liked guy. I think he's going to fit in well up there.
Yeah, and that was – I actually reached out to Pete Lembo. I know him well and asked him about TJ, and yeah, he had glowing reviews. Yeah. And what was interesting to me was what he said about TJ, and then TJ backed it up, was the special teams component. A lot of times, you don't see guys that big playing on special teams and running down and doing different things, but it seems like TJ has embraced that, and he even said, anything I do on special teams is attributed to Pete Lembo getting me to love it.
Yeah, that's a big part of South Carolina's program in general. You know, their head coach is, you know, obviously the son of Frank Beamer and the yep. Beamer ball and all of that, but – yeah, for sure. He was, you know, like I said, if I remember correctly, he was on their punt shield, just protecting the punter. Obviously, at his size, you're not going to be a gunner or anything. But, yeah, he was on special teams. I don't know if that's a role for him in the NFL necessarily, but if the Bills ask him to, it will be. I know that much. So that's definitely part of, you know, his identity, his DNA, and also this program as well.
Alan Cole joining us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, a beat writer for Rivals Gamecock. All right, so let's just talk about a couple other guys from South Carolina, because we had a lot of investment here, especially from our afternoon show host, Bulldog, who really loved Nick Amonwori. Not that I didn't or anybody else didn't, but he was really all about him and what he brought to the table. The Bills did not draft him. Of course, he goes in the second round pretty early to the Seattle Seahawks. Tell us a little bit about Nick Amonwori and how you think he projects to the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I understand some of the red flags there, just, you know, he's missed some tackles. He's not as great, you know, in man-to-man coverage, but I was surprised he fell out of the first round. He's got physique out of a comic book. Just the way he moves, the physical traits, the way he finishes, it's all there. The ball skills, I think he's going to end up being a steal. You know, the way Seattle likes to use safeties, Mike McDonald, I think he's going to fit in really well there. I thought he was going to go in the first round, like I said, and I think Seattle got a really good one there at the top of the second round.
Demetrius Knight, another second-round pick, goes to the Bengals at pick number 17. What's his projection to the next level?
Yeah. The age was, I think, as much as anything what held him back. He's a six-year senior, 25 years old. That's always just going to be a bit of a red flag for NFL GMs. But moved well, you know, really smart, good player recognition, was kind of a Mike linebacker wearing that green dot for South Carolina's defense last year right in the middle of everything. I don't know about like a immediate starter. I think he's going to come in there. Another guy who played on special teams is going to come in there, play immediately, rotate in and out for the Bengals. And also just, I don't know if you saw the story about him. He used to drive DoorDash to put himself through school, but great person, locker room guy. I think he was loved by everybody here.
Alan Cole joining us here. Alan, you got a chance to watch a lot of SEC, obviously. You watch the SEC. You covered the SEC. The Bills went SEC heavy. Anything you have at all, if you don't, that's fine, on Max Harrison and Deion Walker from Kentucky and also Landon Jackson in Arkansas.
Yeah, Deion Walker's the one that kind of stands out. He was Buffalo's fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why he fell. I obviously don't cover Kentucky, but
apparently there was a back injury that forced him to not have. He didn't have quite the season last year due to a back injury. But I guess that's, you know, what everybody's saying. And even the Bills GM said he had a much better 2023.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. His 2023, when Kentucky came here and played South Carolina in 23, he single-handedly took over that game. I think Spencer Rattler called him the best defensive tackle he faced all season after that game in 2023. So the injury part, obviously you're concerned about that. It's probably why I fell to the fourth round, but that's the one of those three that stands out to me. If Deion Walker's healthy, that's a game changer. He saw it when he was fully healthy in 2023 at Kentucky.
Alan, tell everybody where they can find your work if they want to learn a little bit more about TJ Sanders or maybe anybody else the Bills wind up getting through undrafted free agency from South Carolina or anything like that.
Yep, I am at Alan, that's A-L-A-N, two underscores, because the name's really common, I have to use two, A-L-A-N, two underscores, Cole, C-O-L-E on Twitter, and then RivalsGamecock.com, covering South Carolina athletics.
All right, love it, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking some time out to tell us a little bit more about TJ Sanders, the Buffalo Bills draft pick. Thanks a lot, Alan. Have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for having me, yep.
Yep, you got it. Alan Cole right there. Check him out at Alan, two underscores, Cole. You can't even tell that. On his Twitter page, two underscores. I mean, we got a boss here, Alan. We got Josh Allen here. Got a lot of Allens to go around, right? And they're all spelled different, by the way. They're all spelled different. Josh Allen is A-L-L-E-N. Our boss is A-L-L-A-N. This guy is A-L-A-N. How would you spell your name if you were Allen?
I don't even know what that
is. You'd have all different ways to do it.
Is there a different way that we are not thinking of?
Yes. Alan Pupar, who we have on.
That's right.
He spells it L A L A-L-A-I-N, I believe. Right? Let me just see. Yeah, they're A-L-A-I-N, but it's Allen.
Yeah, I think that might be the most unique way. Unless
I think
you,
so, too.
Unless you try to do something where you have an A and an E.
Could do that.
Like, but then I feel like that would get misconstrued.
But then you might not need two underscores either, like Alan Cole has two underscores for his name. The Bills wrap up their 2025 draft. It's an interesting class because, as I said earlier, I think they've taken some swings here. A couple guys that stand out, though, and a couple things I want to mention about their 2025 draft. Let's start with Jackson Hawes. And this is the tight end that played 5 years at Yale, okay? He gets an economics degree at an Ivy League school. Dude's smart, right? Then he transfers to Georgia Tech because he wants to play football, improve his draft stock, and actually play in the league. And it works. He's the best blocking tight end in this entire draft. Couple of things happen when the Bills take a guy like this. Couple of negative reactions could be that I've seen. Number one, why do you always have to just draft smart guys? How about football players? Okay, that's a logical fallacy. You could be smart and play football. Okay, this guy apparently can. He's really, really strong and tough and loves the violent part of the game. But that's the other part of it. Sometimes you get, oh, great, a blocking tight end, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Folks, let me tell you what this guy's going to do, okay? I think my prediction is right now, Jackson Hawes, the Buffalo Bills tight end they drafted this weekend, is going to become the new extra offensive lineman instead of Alec Anderson. So now, a couple things you can accomplish, okay? Number one, first and foremost, it allows Alec Anderson to actually be more of a regular backup offensive lineman and even compete for a job. Now, he might not even get on the field as much, but you could still use him in that role if you'd like. But you now get Alec Anderson able to compete for a job. Maybe he wins a backup job. Maybe he wins a starting job. Probably not. I think David Edwards is the only guy there you could even consider that could happen with, but I don't think that's going to happen, but he could wind up winning a job. Number two, the extra offensive lineman can actually catch a pass now. You could do that with Alec Anderson, but number three here, he'd have to report eligible. The Bills could have an extra, quote-unquote, offensive lineman who no longer has to go to the referee, Josh, and say, I'm eligible. This guy's going to wear an eligible number because he's a tight end. And then you're going to go, oh, he can actually go out for a pass. You're not alerting the other team. We got a guy in here, and we could throw to him. This guy, you already know he could throw to him. The Bills could run a myriad of sets in personnel packages. And yes, they still have Reggie Gilliam. Reggie Gilliam is a blocking fullback, blocking tight end, more of a fullback. What he did towards the end of the year last year, using him as a blocker in the backfield, was really helping the offense. He's also a big-time special teams guy. This guy will be too. Jackson Hawes, no doubt about it, right? They did not re-sign Quinton Morris. Quinton Morris was a restricted free agent. The Bills did not tender him a restricted free agent offer, which was expected because that would have been like $3 million. Then that meant he became an unrestricted free agent. I figured, okay, they'll probably bring him back. Maybe they still would have. They still could. But now with Jackson Hawes, I doubt you do because your tight end room is now Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox, Jackson Hawes, and Zach Davidson. I think that's probably about where you want to land if you're the Bills. So I think Jackson Hawes plays. I'm going to tell you the other guy that I think is interesting, and I'm staying on offense now because we talked so much about defense earlier. Chase Lunt. So this is a kid, Chase Lunt, who is from UConn. And I don't know if you know, but that's where Ryan Vandermark also played. UConn's actually produced some NFL players over the years. People don't realize they've been a pretty decent program. But you get an athletic, big offensive lineman, which the Bills have just loved. Right? You think about Ryan Vandermark is one of them. The Bills didn't draft Ryan Vandermark, by the way. He was drafted or, I think, undrafted by the Colts, but then the Bills grabbed him off their practice squad or he was waived, I think, and the Bills claimed him. But either way, he started with the Colts, comes to the Bills. You have Ryan Vandermark, and let's remember, Tommy Doyle, who was drafted, was just an athletic freak for his size. Unfortunately, now he's retired due to the knee injuries he's had. And then, of course, there's Spencer Brown, who's turned into a terrific, terrific right tackle. So Chase Lunt comes to the Bills at 6'8", maybe 6'7", shy of 6'8", over 300 pounds. He's an athletic freak. I think he has a very good shot to compete for a backup job. He will compete. I think he could very well beat out a guy like Ryan Vandermark or Richard Garage. Tylon Grable, I'm not so sure about. He won the starting job last, I'm sorry, the backup job and swing job last year as a rookie. I wouldn't put it past Chase Lunt to win a job from one of these guys either. We'll see where it lands and what they do. But I like that. Okay, we had a talk about wide receiver earlier today. The morning show did with Brandon Bean. It was very interesting. A lot of you are talking about that. I'll talk about wide receiver when we come back. I'll give you my thoughts on wide receiver and a couple other positions that I just think we finally need to put to rest because it's been said, and here we are. We're all done with this. All the talk. I've been saying a few things for a month here, and I think a bunch of it's come to fruition, and I just want to revisit and say why, and let's kind of take stock of where they are here at wide receiver and a couple other spots about what the Bills are thinking and what's maybe needed or not needed going forward here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
As you get to a certain point on the board, you're going, all right, how does this guy help? If there was a guy when we picked at the first round that we're like, yes, this guy's dynamic, he's going to fit here, we would have turned it in. In the second round, we would have done it. We went up and got TJ. Like, we weren't dodging receiver. We were going in, hey, we had the guy stacked where it was. I didn't think it was the deepest class. I'll say that. But, yeah, if it would have worked out, I would have gladly done it. But I'm trying to make sure we got the best team, not the best receiving core.
Well, there you have it. Bills general manager Brandon Bean. That's from this morning with Jeremy and Joe. Fantastic radio and a great debate. And I think there's a lot to be said for both sides of this wide receiver debate and discussion that's been going on really for over a year now, right? And it continued today. And if you haven't listened to it, you've probably seen it. It's gone pretty viral. The video clip and the interview with Jeremy and Joe with Brandon Bean today on our morning show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So you can find that. You can hear it. You can listen to it. You can go back on YouTube and watch it. The YouTube stuff is great, by the way. And as I always try to remind everybody, YouTube, you can go find it. You can scroll back and forth, all the morning show, the afternoon show, wherever you want. It's super easy. And it's available in Canada for all Canadian listeners. We had Bill call before. He was in Toronto, and now he can watch on YouTube instead of having to, you know, he can't get it on the app because it couldn't be used. So go wherever you are and check it out. Okay, so listen. Brandon Bean right there talking about wide receiver. This goes to the heart of what my main point has been for a while about this stuff, all this. This isn't just wide receiver, folks. This is safety, okay? It's linebacker. It's mostly, I think receiver's number one, safety's number two for this point I'm about to make. I've been saying this until I'm blue in the face. I'll say it again. You can play GM all you want. You can think the Bills have to do A, B, C to improve their roster or have needs here, have needs there. That's fine and dandy. The Bills don't agree with you. And Brandon Bean doesn't. And you have every right to criticize that. That's what fans do. That's what media does. You have every right to do that. But anytime this came up in the last month, I would tell you, and I tell people here, they don't feel that way about that room. They're more confident and comfortable with it than you are, whether that's wide receiver or safety. We had this huge discussion Thursday morning about safety because suddenly all these national people have the Bills taking a safety, and Malachi Starks and Nick Amemori. And I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. I can tell you I know the Bills like their safeties. You might not like them, but they do. What are we doing? Like, why would they're not taking a safety in the first round. If Malachi Starks was there, I still don't think they would have taken him. I don't know that for sure. But he wasn't. They didn't take Nick Amemori. He was there. And then it comes to wide receiver. And again, I'll go back to the point that I've made. From a Bills perspective, you just heard Brandon Bean say it right there. And if it wasn't right there in that clip, it's in the interview. From a Bills perspective, from Brandon Bean's perspective, they go out and get a wide receiver. They draft one early. It's, where is he playing right now? You, WGR listener right now, Bills fan, could say, well, he should play over Keon Coleman. He could play over Joshua Palmer. Great. I'm telling you right now, it's just not how the Bills see it. Khalil Shakir is clearly their number one receiver. Now, not number one in the sense of a Justin Jefferson number one, a Jamar Chase number one. Those are very hard to find. I mean, number one is the main guy on the team. Okay? Khalil Shakir. You have Keon Coleman, who was drafted with the very first pick of the second round last year, who they felt was really starting to come around until the injury. Sean McDermott even used the word dominant when he talked about his season and where he was going. They just paid Joshua Palmer $9 million a year. Again, for right or wrong. I'm not here to defend it. I'm here to tell you, put yourself in that position and try to understand the reasoning. Curtis Samuel, they paid last year $8 million a year. Got nicked up. Did not have the season they thought. And he's coming back. And they have an investment in him for the next couple of years, by the way. That's four. The fifth guy, if they were to draft one, could certainly compete with one of these guys, no doubt. And you can make the argument, just make Curtis Samuel the fifth wide receiver. Are you, if you're the Bills, do you want to spend that asset on a fourth receiver, though? I think those kinds of guys should come in and be like Keon Coleman last year was the first pick of the second round. Like, he's got to come in and play. There's not room for that. And the larger point here about the whole roster is the pass catchers. It's not just the wide receivers when it comes to this debate. The Bills are banking on Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, and Curtis Samuel, all three of them, to be healthier and more productive than last year. Is that maybe a lot to ask to roll the dice on those three guys all having that happen? Sure, I could understand that. Valid argument. But even if you got two out of the three, you really raise kind of what you were at the pass catcher spot. I look at the names and I understand where people are coming from. Because you look at NFL teams, you see there's Garrett Wilson on the Jets. There's Tyreek Hill on the Dolphins. There's Jamar Chase on the Bengals. There's Justin Jefferson on the Vikings, and go through and pick out certain guys that are just these traits, these athletic, incredible number one wide receiver traits. Where's my guy? In this day and age of passing, where's my guy? Give my quarterback, my league MVP, that guy. From Brandon Bean's perspective, we didn't have that guy last year and we just scored 31 points a game. We didn't have that guy last year and we just scored the most points overall in the entire NFL, including the Super Bowl champions, when you count the playoffs overall in total points. We didn't have that guy last year, and Josh Allen completed and won his first MVP ever, despite having that guy the year before, and the year before, and the year before, and Stephon Diggs. So, you can have these discussions all you want about how much they need to add to the wide receiver room, and I don't begrudge anybody who says that. But it's clear the Bills feel okay with where they are. And be quite honest with you, they kind of have scoreboard on their side. No, they didn't win the Super Bowl. I get it. But they did do all those things. They did with this group. I don't think that the Mac Hollins, like, you want to get into, well, that group, they had Mac Hollins and Amari Cooper. Yeah, I know. I don't think it moves the needle for me that much because Hollins was a nice player. I mean, he was a guy that a lot of you thought he wouldn't even make the team when they signed him last year. Amari Cooper is a nice player. He didn't really do much after they traded for him. So I think that's kind of off to the side for me. It's a great discussion. It's a great debate. Okay, the other ones are real quick. I told you I'd do this. I said safety. Like, folks, if they would have drafted a safety to play over Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop, because you have to if you're going to draft one in that early, first round. If they're going to do that, I mean, yeah, you could get an elite talent. It might take a little while, and then you'd be kind of neglecting the other areas where you needed to get better. And that's why I don't think the Bills were ever going to do that. The other one was linebacker. That's one that I thought they could take a guy. They could bring in a guy. They could draft someone. but it was never to be a regular player. It would always be for depth and special teams, and let's see where this goes with Matt Milano going into the final year of his contract. Can Dorian Williams take another step and become, you know, a guy that can do a little bit more of everything they need him to? Will Joe Andreessen still maintain what he started off as we saw last year? What do they think about Eddie Ulofosio? Can Baylen Spector stay healthy? A lot of questions there, but I think right now what you're looking at linebacker is them going, hey, we only play two of them. We really like the guys we have. And you know how they can be better? Let's get a corner and let's get defensive tackles to keep people off of them. I thought they might. They didn't. But those were the areas. Another one was punter. I know people aren't confident in what the Bills have, punter, but let me get you give you the Bills side like I always do here. The Bills side of that is, first of all, they don't punt that much. Okay. Secondly, they're not going to punt even as much this year because of the new kickoff rules with the touchbacks. That's actually going to decrease punts as well. It already did last year, and now it's even more so. And I want to remind everybody, they do have a guy named Jake Camarda who actually was fifth in the NFL for two straight years in yards per punt. Last year he was on the Bucs. They had a special teams coordinator change. He didn't mesh well with them. They released him. So that's kind of what happened there. All right, let's get to a couple phone calls. Bill in Old Forge. Hi, Bill. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. First of all, I would never waste a draft pick on a punter or a kicker at all. I did when I was in college. But regardless of that, I don't know people are complaining about that. Regardless, look, man, my opinion of Brandon Bean at this point, he's been here long enough. To me, he's just been average and sometimes just poor. And my thing is this. You know what? If we didn't have to draft another corner this year because his first-round pick, Elam, wasn't a bust, maybe we could have drafted a receiver in the first two rounds, or maybe even the first round. And his argument with those guys this morning, I think he's completely wrong. All the stuff you're saying can be true. Both things can be true, like you said. But my point is this. As long as Josh Allen is the quarterback of your football team, I think your number one priority, regardless of any other position on the team, I don't care what it is to get him a top guy, a top receiver to throw the ball to. And, yeah, everyone eats, and all this whole narrative of, we have a bunch of average guys. Allen makes them better. They're going to score 30 points a game. But my point is this. Sometimes it looks like a struggle against a good team to score points when we get in those tough games, those dogfight games. And maybe, just maybe, if you got him a top guy, like some of the receivers you mentioned, the Burrow has, Prescott has, name your quarterback, right? You get him a top guy, maybe it's not so much of a struggle. Maybe there's a receiver that can take over a game that some of these guys have. Get him the guy. So Allen doesn't have to be Superman all the time in these big games. And maybe we could score 40 points instead of the 30 points, which is good, but maybe we could score 40 points instead of the 30, and maybe we can finally get over the hump and get to a Super Bowl. And I'm going to end with this. Again, both things can be true, but I think Bean's missing the point. I think most people think that as long as Allen's your quarterback, you should be trying to prioritize the receiver position with a star, if you can get one, to help him out. And obviously thinks there is an issue there because every year it seems like halfway through the season we do address it with an Amari Cooper or somebody like that. But that's my take on it. But
I got you, Bill. I got you, Bill. No, thanks for the call. I'm gonna run. I got you there. Elam was a miss, no doubt. I don't know if you can draw a direct correlation to then they would have drafted a receiver because I think you have the philosophy on the receiver that's the baseline here, right? So I don't think you can draw a direct correlation from if Elam had worked out, you could draft a wide receiver. Yes, it wouldn't be a need at corner. It doesn't mean that you still wouldn't draft a defensive tackle. But I agree with you. Yeah, Elam was a miss for sure. I don't agree that he's been average to poor. Again, I think that he's built a solid roster here all around. Maybe missing those top-end talented guys that really are, you know, voted to Pro Bowls and winning All-Pro nods. That's not happened necessarily, but I don't think he's been average to poor. And the final thing is, I just want to say, 40 points a game. What? Yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, that would be it'd be unbelievably historic. If that's what you think it would take to win, I think the Bills feel, how about we also keep teams down and not even have to score 30 necessarily in games? But I do agree with you, Bill. It was a struggle at times when you saw it. Even though they did score over 30 points a game 8 straight weeks, there were a few times where it felt like it was grinding. But you get the Brandon Bean's point, and I appreciate the call. Denny in Middlebury. Hi, Denny.
Hey, how's it going, Sal?
Good, bud.
After the last call, I know that I know how Bean feels. The one thing I did want to mention to Bean, though, I know he's not listening, but Marv Levy once said, the moment you start listening to the fans is the moment you start sitting with them. So while he might not have liked the wide receiver talk coming out about it, Definitely wasn't the best in his interest. Just based on the other call, we did go offense the last 2 years in wide receiver and tight end. We desperately, just like you said, need to keep people down. It's not a narrative that we scored 30 points a game. It is a fact. So if we are scoring 30 points a game and we are not winning every game, that means that the other side of the ball needs help. Not only did Bean draft one of the two most important positions, but he drafted two of each. We got two DTs, we got two quarterbacks, so we know that we kind of hedge our bets. If one of them doesn't work out, the other one is going to. So this was a defensive year based upon the fact of everything we did last year on offense didn't win us a Super Bowl. We need defense to win a Super Bowl, and that's what he did.
All right, Denny, good call. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Denny calling from a 1970s record player, apparently. I love it, though. Gonna go. That was Denny. Now let's go to Stairway to Heaven. That was great. We'll take a timeout. Good show today. Good debate. Good calls. Let's keep it rolling. Sabres live at noon, but we'll come back after this timeout to wrap up the Monday Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hey, let's give some congratulations out there to Sean Dolak. Sean Dolak will be heading to the Rams as an undrafted free agent. I know a lot of you wanted him out there, and it would have been nice. It would have been a great story. We could have covered it here, talked about it a lot. Sean Dolak, I thought the Bills could have taken a linebacker, like I said, late. That could have fit there, but good for Sean Dolak, no matter where it is. Local guy, UB, obviously. He's going to the LA Rams. I did not see, I could be wrong here. Josh, you can help me. I did not see Matthew Jaworski. If he's going anywhere or not. Let's see. Not really sure. I haven't seen anything on that. So if we find anything, I'll let you know. He's the young man we interviewed last week. Went to St. Francis High School. Then he went to Fordham. He was the Defensive Player of the Year for the Patriot League. So we'll see if that's the case. The Bills apparently are bringing in, they always bring in about, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 undrafted free agents. The number looks to be about 12 this year, according to various reports that are out there. And that would bring them to 88. Brandon Bean said they're not going to get right to 90 right away because they have to have their rookie minicamp. That's going to happen in 2 weekends. Not this weekend, but the next weekend is rookie minicamp. And then they'll have some tryout guys at rookie minicamp like they always do. And then they might sign somebody. That's what happened to Joe Andreessen last year. He came to Bill's rookie minicamp and he made the team out of there. So if you keep a couple spots open, you never know what can happen. Sabres live up next. Sabres haven't made any announcements this offseason. We'll see if something's coming this week, soon. Other teams have been doing that about any shakeups, any changes, anything like that. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3. Great show today. Thanks for being with me today. Have a great rest of your Monday on WGR.